We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Lamed Tes. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Chesam Beis, six lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of this parak regarding the halachas of Knas by Oynis. So Amar Abaya says, Bo Oleha, if the Mi'anis violates the woman, and the father didn't get a chance to do what's called Hamada Bedin, to bring this case to court, until Umesam, and his daughter, the one that was violated, died before the father got a chance to collect the knas money from the Mianas, Sapater. Actually, then the Mianas is going to be exempt from paying the 50 kesef penalty. Shnemi, because it says a pasuk in Devarim, says v'nasan, where the pasuk then continues that the Gemara doesn't quote ha'ish ha'shechiv ima, that the man who laid with this naira, who violated her, will then have to give la viha naira to the father of the naira, this chamishim kosef, this 50 silver coins. Now the inference is la viha naira, v'loy la vi mesa. He only gives it to the father of a naira. If she's not around anymore because she's dead, well then that doesn't fit into what the pasuk requires of that to mandate the 50 kesef. Now the Gemara tells us that milsa de pshit le labaya, this halacha that it was obvious to Abaya that there is no knas by this woman that died before they got a chance to bring the case to court, miboy leila Rava. So although it was obvious to Abaya, this ended up as a question for Rava that he wasn't sure if this halacha of having knas going to the father when the girl had died, or that it doesn't go. Which actually this is going to be the maskana of one version of Rava of Mar Baravashi, which we're going to see later. But first the Gemara will introduce a different version of Rava's question. The boy Rava, because Rava had posed the following question. Yesh beggar bekever, is there halacha of bagris for the woman that dies and that she's in the grave? In other words, if let's say she was violated by this man as a basula, as a naira. Now she's, let's say, 12 and 1 month. Then she dies a few weeks later. And she dies before the father got a chance to bring this violator to court. Then her age of bagris, which is let's say 12 and a half, she reaches that age as a dead woman in the grave. Now the question is, halachically, do we view her as having reached that age of bagris in the kever? Or in beggar bekever? Or do we say, no, once you're dead, you don't get older, you don't reach bagris, and therefore we wouldn't consider the girl now, in these few months later, as now a begeris, which the Gemara now is going to explain what would that relevance be if the girl as a dead person who was violated by this man to see if she's considered begeris or not. So the Gemara explains, yesh beggar bekever, do we say that although she's in the grave, but now that it's those months later, she has reached 12 and a half, now she's not a naira anymore, now the halachic relevance will be that udbena hava, and therefore her knas, which sometime they'll come and they'll bring him to court, it might take some months, it takes sometimes some time. Now, the point is, that is just like we learn later on, daf memal from Abayis, where if let's say the girl was 12 and a few months, so she's a naira and she was a basula, and therefore the person that violates her has to pay this knas of chamishim kesef. Now, let's say it took a time to bring this case to court, and by the time it came to court, she was already a begeris, she already was at over 12 and a half, then the halacha actually is that the knas goes to her, not to her father. Because that's only when she's a naira or possibly a ketana that the father gets the rights in her. But when she's older than that, the money goes to her. Now, David, the question is also over here now that if by the time the case comes to court, although she's dead, but we would consider her begeres, so that removes the authority that the father has, and rather udbenahava. Rather, it would actually go to the son because she's getting it, but now she's dead. So her son, if she has a son, he would inherit his mother because his mother gets it, not her father. Like Dilma ain't beggar bekever udavi habo. Maybe the Gemara says that no, a girl cannot become a begeris. She died a naira. That's all she was. Time doesn't continue, and she's dead. And therefore, the one that would merit it would be the father, and not this dead woman's child. Now that was Rava's question. If this bagris in the kever, hence it goes to the son, or in begeris bekever? No, she was a naira, and the father gets whatever his naira daughter's was, and although by the time the court case came, she would have been older, but she's not around anymore, never the father gets it. Now we continue on top of Lamed Tes of Anav, where the Gemara asks a technical question on the whole assumption of the question of Rava, which the Gemara asks, Umima Abra? Can a girl, when she's a minor, or even as a naira, which is the limit of how old this woman could be to get a knas, because once she's begeris, if she's violated, she doesn't get the knas, can she give birth as a Naira? But Vatani Rabbi Bikamid Rav Nachman taught the following brisa. Shalish Nashim Mishamshes B'mech. There are three women that are permitted to have cohabitation with a cloth to prevent conception, and it's not considered as if it's destroying the seed of a human. Now, Elohim, these are the three types of women. Ketana, a minor. Mubaris, a pregnant woman. And a Manika, a nursing woman, as the Bryce explains. Ketana, the reason why a minor can have bia with a maich is shemetesaber betamis, because maybe she'll become pregnant. And if she becomes pregnant, she's going to die. She can't sustain a pregnancy. So therefore, to protect her life, we allow her to have tashmish, but to protect her life, she can use a maich. Mubaris, the reason why a pregnant woman can prevent conception, is shemetasa uber sandal, is maybe the fetus that she's carrying right now will become a sandal. And the reason is because if she becomes pregnant with having bia now again, that will deform the new fetus, will deform the original fetus, which will look like a sandal, which is a type of fish in the sea, which will have this type of deformed face, this type of deformed features. And to prevent that, we said we don't want her to conceive again now that she's pregnant, and therefore we said she can use a meich. And menika shemetigal bas bana. And the reason why a nursing woman can use a meich is because maybe she's going to stop nursing, she's going to wean off her child. Now the reason is because when a woman becomes pregnant, her milk becomes more thick and it's not good for nursing. And she's going to have to wean the child from nursing, but the child really needs it and therefore the child's going to die. So therefore, to prevent her losing her supply of milk, we don't want her to become pregnant, and therefore she could use a meich. Now the Brice explains ve'ezuhi kitana. Now what is considered a minor that we said she could use a meich? It's mebas achas esrei shana b'yom echad. It's a girl from 11 ad shtayim esrei shana b'yom echad until 12. Because pachas mikan, younger than 11, then she could have tashmish normal without a meich, and the reason is because she won't become pregnant. She's too young to even conceive. V'yes arkein, and over 12, also, she could continue having tashmish in the normative way because if she becomes pregnant, she's not going to die. That's Divrei Meir. They argue and they say that no, achazu v'achazu, no matter what type of a girl, she could have regular tashmish, she does not have to use a meich. And the reason is because from heaven they'll have mercy on her that nothing bad will happen to her. Like it says in the Pasuk Ketil, that Hashem watches over the simple ones, the ones that don't know better than that. And therefore, the girl that's between 11 and 12 can have tashmish without a meich. We're not concerned that of this that she might die. Now, but what the Gemara's question is, one thing we see is that a girl cannot become pregnant when she's a minor that will bring to a full-term child. Because it says that v'tamish, she will die. Now, the Chacham said, okay, we're not concerned about that, meaning that she'll become pregnant and then die. But it seems like that if she becomes pregnant, that she will not be able to carry it through. She will die before it'll carry through. So how could Rav have said that this Naira, when if she becomes a Begeris in the grave, meaning she died before she became a Begeris, that the option of saying Yesh Beger Bekever is that her child will inherit her, but it's not possible. We said under 11, she doesn't conceive at all. Between 11 and 12, she's not going to make it through anyway. She's going to die. So the over 12, between 12 and a half, that's not enough time to have a child. Now, the Gemara entertains that. The Gemara says, okay, so under 12, it's not possible to carry a child full term. And she died before she was 12 and a half. Now, if you're going to say that maybe, okay, she actually became pregnant when she was a Naira, that's when she conceived, which was when the days of Ne'urim come. And she actually gave birth when she was still a Naira. And then, moreover, we said she even died as a Naira, because that's the whole question about she's becoming a Begeris when she's in the grave already. But that the Gemara says that's not possible. Because Ubishita Yachim Mikol Yolda, can a woman give birth, can carry a fetus for 6 months? But V'amar Shmuel said that Ein Bein Nairis L'Bagris Ela Shish Chadashim. The whole period of Nairis to Bagris, which we said it has to be from Nairis that she conceived, because younger than that she won't be able to carry. And she's dying before she reaches Begeris, so that whole time span is not more than 6 months. And as Rashi explains, that when a woman brings two Cyrus by Simakim, she becomes a Naira only from age 12 and up. Now from that point of time until she becomes a Begeris is only 6 months. It can't be more than that. Now Rashi clarifies, he says, now the reason why the Braisa that we just quoted said is that's from 12 and on, that if she becomes pregnant, she doesn't die. It's actually only if she brought two Sairus before she became pregnant. But as long as she didn't bring the two Sairus, actually in Halacha, she is considered as a Ketana. So the reason why the Braisa said the years and not the concept of two Sairus is just to tell you, because if she has two Sairus under the age of 12, then that wouldn't be relevant. It would just be what's called a Shuma. It would just be some type of like a birthmark, something that doesn't have any halachic relevance. It wouldn't be a sign of godless. But really, it's after 12 that then you bring two Sairus. That's when Nairus starts. And then from that point on, whenever that is, because she could be 14, that the first time she brings two Sairus. But no matter that, that's when she becomes a Naira. Then afterwards is when she, for 6 months, she's Naira until Bagris. So the question is, if there's not more than 6 months, a woman cannot give birth in 6 months. So how are you ever going to have that? She died before she was a Begeris, but she obviously had to conceive after she was a Naira, because as a Ketana, she's not going to be able to carry a child full term. And we know a woman cannot have a child in less than 6 months. Now, so the Gemara entertains in V'chitema Batzer Hudalek. And if you're going to say that, no, what the Gemara was saying was, what Shmuel said was that you can't have the period of Nairus to Bagris less than 6 months. Hatzvei Ikka, but it could be more than that, and therefore could be her Nairus was much longer, and therefore she was able to conceive and give birth and die when she was still a Naira. But Ha'elokama, but Shmuel didn't say that. Shmuel said clearly that Ein Bein Nairus LaBagris Ela Shish Chadashim, only 6 months, not more, not less. So the Gemara says, you're right. Obviously, the way we define Rava's question was incorrect, because the option of saying Yesh Beger Bekever cannot have relevance to say that, okay, the father doesn't get it, but rather her child gets it. I mean, obviously, she's not getting it because she's dead, and she can't have a child. So what is the relevance? Rather, Rava's question was as follows. Yesh Beger Bekever, do we say that we can view the girl as becoming a Begeris, even in the grave? Upoka Av... The whole halachic relevance of that option would be is that the father's claim is not here anymore. Now, what would that mean? It wouldn't mean that the woman would get it because she's dead, and it wouldn't mean that her child would get it because she doesn't have a child. It would mean that the violator gets to hold on to his money. And the reason is because his claimant is not here. And the reason being is because his claimant is the woman, and she's dead. Now, the reason why she's the claimant, not the father, is because once she becomes a begaris, as we're saying, yesh beger bekever, the father loses the rights and the rights go to her. And moreover, that let's say she's the claimant, so she's dead, and she doesn't have a child, but her father inherits everything that she has, so why shouldn't the father be able to claim it? So that Rashi explains is because knas, is what we're talking about, it's a penalty, is not mammon. It doesn't have the same halachas as monetary law to be able to give it over as an inheritance. So as long as it wasn't collected, it's not money to be able to yarshin. And therefore, the option of saying yesh beger bekever actually would mean that the violator gets to hold on to the money. It doesn't have to give it to anyone. The other option was, is that maybe we do not say that she becomes a begeris to say that the father loses his rights that he had as long as she was a naira. And therefore, v'loy pakav, and therefore, the father does not lose his rights. And he could still collect from the me'anis. That was Rabba's question. Now, Ma Baravashi by Lahachi, he posed the question as follows. Now, he didn't pose the question, as we said in Rav up until now, that if we say if this beggar bekever or not. Now, because actually, according to this first version of Rava, it wasn't like the Gemara said previously. Rather, it was obvious to Rava exactly the opposite of Abaya. He held for sure there is knas even when the girl has died. The only question was, what happens when she then becomes over the age of a Naira and becomes a Begeris? Then the question would be, okay, then would the father lose it or not? But just the fact that she died, to Rava was clear, not like Abaya, that the father would still get it. Now, but according to this version of Rava, which is Ma Baravashi's version, he asked the question as follows. He goes, regarding Misa, if let's say the girl dies when she's a Naira, Oisa Bagrus, does that... So it sounds like the same words, but he's posing in a totally different way. Does that make Bagris? Now, what does that mean? How could a girl dying at age 12 and 1 month make Bagris, which is when she's 12 and a half? Now, so what that means is halachically, do we say that just like when the girl becomes a Begeris, when she is alive, she didn't die, that removes the father's rights to the money, and rather she gets it, as we said, the Gemara later on will bring the source for that. So the question is, do we say the same thing applies to when she dies? that also removes the koyach av, oy ein oisabagris? Or do we say that no, that doesn't make like the halacha of begeris, and that the father would still hold on to it? Now, so Rashi points out what we had mentioned before. Now, it was according to this version of Mabar Vashi, according to Rava, that the Gemara said previously that what was obvious to Abaya actually was a question to Rava, which was, that's this question. Does Misa make Bagris? Now, what that means when you say Misa makes Bagris, and essentially what it means to say, does that remove the rights of the father? Because she's not getting, she's dead, and she doesn't have a child. So that's essentially what Abaya was saying. Abaya said that, that the father loses it when she dies. That this is the question. Does he lose it? Is it like Bagris? Or is it not like Bagris and he doesn't lose it? Because whereas according to the first version, that was, as we said before, obvious to Rava that actually Misa does not remove the authority of the father. Not like Abaya, as long as she wasn't a Begeris. The whole question that Rava did have was that, however, regarding Beger Bekever, but regarding death, as long as she's not a Begeris, he obviously argued in the Abaya and said that doesn't remove it from the father, and the Mi'anis would still be liable. Now, that the Gemara says, take her. According to this version of Rava, of Mabra Vashi, so that was, as we said before, that was Milsa de Pshila Abaya is Mibayla Rava, that there is no resolution for this question. According to Rava, it wasn't clear if it would remove it from the father or not. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Boyimine Rava Mabaya. Rava asked from Abaya the following question. What's if this man violates this besula? Then she gets engaged. What's the halacha? Who does it go to? Does it go to the father or does it go to herself? So Amalei Abaya answered to Rav. He says, "Mik siv anos lavia nara shaloi arusa." When the Torah says that when the naira who is violated, that was the besula, the father gets the knas. Does it say that it goes to the father of the naira that didn't get engaged? Where do we see that it has to be that she wasn't? Why would we think that it doesn't go to the father? So on that, Rav responded back to Abaya. He says, "Ultaimech, but according to your reasoning, how the time of this, they learned the brayse that says bala venisis, that if she was violated, then she didn't just get engaged; she got married. That li atzma, that it does go to her. So on that, I could tell you the same thing you're saying. Miksiv v'nosn lavi anara shalei nesua. Does it say that he has to give it to the father of the girl that wasn't married? Why would we say that if she gets married, that then it goes to her and the father does lose it? And therefore, I could tell you the same thing would be by arusa too. That although it doesn't say that ashalei arusa, but it doesn't say ashalei nesua, but something changed over here. She's not under the domain anymore of the father. And if it's just like we see in the brisa, that if she gets married, she gets it. So too, if she gets engaged, that she should get it. To which Abaya responds, says, no. Hoche hashti, can you compare the two? Hasam hoilu bagris moitzia mishas av. There, regarding the case of the brisa, when she gets married, I'll tell you as follows. Because we can make the following comparison. Just like by Bagris, when a girl reaches, let's say, approximately age of 12 and a half, that removes her from the domain of the father. In other words, we don't find any way that the Torah merits a father in his daughter. For example, let's say the fact that he could sell her as a maidservant. That's only when she's a minor. Or other things that he gains out of her, let's say, when she's violated, which is her knas money, or what's called maisya deho, what she earns when she, that's only when she's a naira. As the Gemara teaches later on, Davmen Vavman Beis. But regarding when she's a begeris, over 12 and a half, that we don't find anywhere that the father gets any rights in his daughter. Now, since we don't find that the father merits him anything, so from where would we see fit to give him what is rightfully hers? So therefore, once she becomes a begeris, father doesn't get anything, and therefore he wouldn't get the knas, as we said that that's the source of a begeris. Now, moreover, v'nisun meitzin mishosav, a woman that gets married, also removes her from her father's domain, as we find, for example, by what's called Hafaras Nadar. When she takes a vow, as long as she's in her father's house, her father can nullify it. Once she gets married, then the father cannot. Now, and so therefore we find a corollary here between Begaris and Nisuin, that both of them remove the woman from her father's domain. So therefore we can make the following comparison. Ma Bagris Bolo, just like when she's a Begaris, that if this man was ba on her when she was a naira, ubagra, and then she becomes a begeris. And then they bring the case to court, la'atzma goes to herself, because the pasuk says, v'nosna isha sheikh vima, that the man who lays with her gives la viha naira to the father of the naira, which means to say that the nasan, the giving, has to be when it's the father of a naira. But if the time of the court case, when he has to pay the penalty, she's already a begeris, then he doesn't give it to the father, he gives it to the woman herself. Sa'afnisu in ba'al lev v'nisis. So too regarding when she's married, if he came on her and then she gets married, then la'atzma, it makes sense that it should go to herself, like the Brisa says. But regarding the case that you asked about, Ela Erisin, but if she's just got engaged, Mika Mafka Meshusa de Avagami, does that totally remove her from her father's domain to say that the father shouldn't get the Knas anymore? But it's not true, because it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechet in the Darim that says, Naira Hamarosa, a Naira that's engaged, Avia Ubay Lamafirin La Nedarah, that the father and her husband jointly have to nullify her vows. And that is, if both of them do not nullify it, even if one did, it will not be nullified. And therefore, what Abai is telling Rav is, it's not obvious from what you're comparing of the Braisa to show that, although it doesn't say Ashaloi Nesu in the Pasuk, but the father loses the rights when she gets married, to say, oh, the same thing should be Bairus, it's not true, because Nesu is totally removed from the father's domain. And therefore, that's just like Bagris, where we say that it goes to her. But by Erison, where the father still has rights over her, as we find by Farsh Nadarim, who said that then the father would not get the Knas. And therefore, it's not clear from the Brisa he's trying to prove from. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, of this parak regarding the Knas of when a man is ma'anis a woman. And now this Mishnah introduces in contrast with the halacha of Mefata, which is similar, just not violated, but rather seduced. So the Mishnah says, HaMefata, if a man seduces a woman, Naisin Shlesha Dvar, so he has to pay three monetary payments. V'oinis arba, and the man who violates the naira has to give four types of payments, which the Mishnah explains. Hamafata, if a man seduces a naira, naisin baishes, first of all, he has to give the embarrassment that happened to this woman. Upagam, and the depreciation that happened, which the Gemara later will explain exactly what is this a reference to. V'knas, and the penalty, which is a knas that the Torah introduces, of mafata, again, similar to that of Einis, which are not the two in comparing, it has to be Chamishim Shkol. Now, Maisav Lav Einis, however, a violator has to do more than the three of Mefata, that Shneis Nesetzar. He has to pay also for the pain that the woman received when he violated her. Now, Ma Bein Einis LeMefata, what are the differences between Einis and Mefata? So one is, as we just mentioned, Ha'einis Shneis Nesetzar, the one who rapes a woman has to give the pain, the Mefata Einis Nesetzar, but the one who seduces the Nara doesn't have to pay for pain. Now, another difference is ha'inis nisin miyad. The one who violates a woman has to immediately give the father the knas, even if he's going to marry her. But v'amafata likashayitzi, however, the mafata only has to give when he removes her. Now, the Gemara will ask, when he removes her? The one who just seduced the woman, is he married? Is he married to her? He's not married to her. The Gemara will explain, it means to say that if he doesn't marry her, it's just saying when he removes her, meaning when he doesn't marry her, and the reason is because actually if the one who seduces the woman marries her, it doesn't give the knas, as the pasuk says, mohar yimarenu loy, as the Gemara learns out, that it's only if it says v'moin yimoin, if he refuses, then kesev yishkol. And therefore we see, but if he doesn't refuse and he marries her, he doesn't have to give the knas. But regarding einis, it says, first v'nosen chamishim kesef, first he gives the money, and then it says v'lo yisi liisha. So we see that the fact that he has to marry her is notwithstanding that he still has to give the knas money. Now another difference is ha'einis sheisa ba'atzitzai. The one who violated forcibly the woman, he has to drink from his cup. Now, basically what that means to say, it's a metaphor that the cup that he chose to drink from, he has to continue drinking from. In other words, he has to marry her. As the pasuk says, la'yuchel l'shalcha, he cannot send her away, the man who violated the woman. But the one who seduced the woman, if he wants to remove her, he could remove her. He doesn't have to marry her. Now, on that, the Mishnah explains, Ketzed Shaisa Batzitza. What does it mean that we force him to drink from the cup that he started drinking from? So it means to say, Afilihi Chigeris, even if she's lame. Afilihi Sumo, or this woman that he raped is blind. Afilihi Mukashchin, even if she's afflicted with boils, doesn't make a difference. That's what the Torah says, Layuchel Shalcha. But the Mishnah says, Nimtza Badva Ervaf. Let's say there's something immoral with her. In other words, she's one of the Chiva Lavin that is forbidden. Let's say she's a mamzeres, that this woman that he violated, or it's not fitting for her to come into the klai. So again, like we said, mamzeres, one of these types of women, then he's not permitted to maintain her as a wife. Like it says, the pasuk in Devarim says regarding the ma'ana, says v'loy si lisha, that to him she should be a wife, which is isha haru'uyla, which is a woman that's fit for him. That's what it says, siya, it should be havaya, is someone that's appropriate for him. But if it's not appropriate for him halachically, then he doesn't marry her. Now the Gemara wonders, we said regarding this element that Oynes has more than Mefata, which is Tsar, he has to pay for the pain. So the Gemara, Tsar Demai, exactly what pain is there that's more by when a man violates, rapes a woman, than when he seduces her? Now, Tosfos brings in the Ri that's very bothered with this Gemara's question. Now what was the question? Doesn't the Gemara know that there's a lot of pain for a Besula, for a virgin with her first time she has Bia, and that many girls become sick from this? Now, so Tosfos says, and maybe you're going to say that, okay, no, of course it's Tsar the first time that a woman has Bia, but since she's ultimately going to have this pain at some point when she would get married, so therefore, that's not something that you have to pay for because you would have had it anyway. And that taste says, that's not true. We find many times that even if it's something that would have happened, but if you're introducing that, you have to pay for that Tsar. So rather, the Ri says that actually the Tsar of the Bia, because of the desire that the woman has for Tashmish itself, for the cohabitation, so it actually, that pain, that physical pain that one feels, doesn't come at the time of Tashmish. It only comes afterwards that you start feeling, you start noticing the pain. Now the problem is that the payment, the penalty that the violator has to pay is only the pain that happens at the time that he did the chavala, that he hurt the person. But what comes afterwards actually, although the person feels that pain, but the person only gets it afterwards, that actually the person that damages the person actually exempt, because that's what's called grama ba'alma. It's just it's a causation, but it's not the immediate result of what you had done, and therefore that's why the Gemara is asking, so what exactly is the tsar that the ma'anis is causing? Because the tsar of the bia is not something she feels in the moment, and the chavala has to be something that you're liable for in the moment, and because what happens later is only what's called a grama. So what is the pain that is by ma'anis? So Amar Shmuel, so the father Shmuel says, it's tsar shechavata al gabe karka. It's the pain that he threw her down the ground. He's raping the woman, he threw her down. That pain is what the ma'anis has to pay, which is not the case with someone that's seducing. Now, Maskvah Reb Zera, so Reb Zera asked on this interpretation, he says, wait a second. El mi'ata chavta al gabe shiroin. But so let's say he threw her down on silk. Hachanami de pata, so you're going to say, so in such a case, the me'anis would be exempt from tsar because there's no tsar there. She didn't get thrown to the ground. Now, v'chitem hachanami, and if you're going to say that's actually the case, but by the time when the b'raisa, Reb Shimon, Yehuda, Oy Mishim, Reb Shimon, he says, Oynis ein mishal mes tsar. He argues on our mission. He says that the violator doesn't pay for the pain. And he gives a reason. He says, but nay, the reason is, as we continue our Talmud base, shesayfa, let's start tachas bailo. Because whatever tsar the ma'anis is giving her, she would have had that anyways when she would have gotten married. And therefore, that's not something that he felt that he has to pay for because it's something she would have had anyways. Now, Amrulay, the Chacham said to him, no, ain't a daimon nivellas ba'anis. You can't compare a woman that was forcibly violated, Linnevelis Bratzen, someone does it willingly. So you can't say, yes, even though she's going to have this when she gets married, can't compare it when it's done coercive. Now, on that, the Gemara's question is that if you're defining the tsar of Oynes because she's being thrown to the ground, then how could he have said that, oh, so therefore she would have had it with her husband, so he doesn't have to pay for that now. What, her husband, when he gets married, is going to throw it down to the ground and force him, and that pain is what the husband would have done? How can you say that? Obviously, that's not the tsar of ma'anis, because that's not something that she would have had with her husband to say that, therefore the ma'anis doesn't have to pay for that. Se'ela, rather, Amr of Nachman, Amr of Barbu, he gives a different interpretation. It's tsar shel pisak ha'raglayim. The tsar that the ma'anis has to pay for is the pain of the woman that has to separate her legs, which is what happens during Bia. That is a pain which he has to pay for. B'cheinu Omer. And so too it says a pasuk in Yechezkel that the vatafaski esraglayich l'chol oiver. It's talking about the embarrassment of the Jewish people that they're embracing all different types of religions and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the way of a metaphor, as with that of a zayna, that accepting everyone but her husband, that you separated your legs to everyone that passes by. So we see that that's something that happens during Bia. And so therefore, so Shimalaza said that, okay, she would have had this anyways with her husband, so you don't have to pay for that. But the Chum said, no, you can't compare when it's done forcibly, when it's done willingly, but at least we can define that's the tsar that we're talking about that a woman gets when he's ma'anis. So the Gemara asks, Ehachim afutanami. So if this is something that's inherent in every act of Bia, so yes, it's forcibly, and therefore you have to pay for it. It's pain, and although generally this happens in regular Bia, but if it's done forcibly, you have to pay for that pain. But then when she's being seduced, just like he has to pay for the baishas and the begam, which regular people don't have to pay when they're having with their spouse, but here there's a pain, so even by mafate, he should have to pay for this. So Amar Nachman Amar Rabbavu, he answers, he says that Mashal de Mafuta, the parable that can be given for a case of seduction, why it's different, Lamaha Dabadema, what could that be given as a metaphor? La Adam Sha'amalachaver, to a person that tells his friend, look, Kara Sharayan Shalivi Potter, rip my silk cloth and be exempt. I want you to do this. Therefore, that's essentially what Mafata is too, because she seduced. She was talked into having this beer, which basically she's saying, yes, I want this pain. And you're not going to be liable for it. So that's why he's not liable for the tzar. Now the Gemara asks on that metaphor, Shali, that the person saying, rip my cloth and you'll be exempt. But Davu Ninu, it's not her monetary rights to forgive to the Mafata, because every what's called Shvach Ne'urim, every money that's coming to the Nara, the Gemara later on in the Daf Mem Vav learns, goes to the father. So how could she forgive? How could she be willing to say, oh, I'm willing for this, but it's not hers to forgive it. So how could that be a reason why the Mafata wouldn't have to pay for the Tsar? So Ella rather, Amar Av Nachman, Amar Rabba Avuha, he says, actually, Picha Shebehen Oimers, the intelligent, knowledgeable women amongst them say that Mefuta in Latzar, a woman that's seduced, doesn't have the pain of having to separate her legs. Now, the Gemara asks, I v'hocha kochazin de isla, but we see that it's not true. There is a pain when the woman has to separate her legs, and therefore Mefata should have to pay for that tzar. So Abaya answers, Amrli Aim, my mother told me, actually it was his nurse, because actually his mother died when he was a baby, that it's kamaya chamimi. It's like hot water al resha de karcha on the bald head. In other words, it's not such a great pain. It's a little sting, and therefore it's not enough significant to have to make the mafata liable to this type of a payment. Similarly, Rav Amar, he says that Amrli Bas Rav Chizda, that the daughter of Rav Chizda, which was the wife of Rav, his wife, told me it's kirivda, it's like the piercing the chosilta of this tool that was used by the blood letters, meaning the small little needle prick, that was what it feels like. Again, it's a small, tiny tsar, and it's not significant enough to mandate a payment. Similarly, Rav Papam, he says that Amrli Bas Abisura, that the daughter of Abisura, again, which was Rav Papa's wife, told me it's kinama akushi, it's like hard bread, bechinchi, that scrapes on the person's palate. Again, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not enough of a tsar, and therefore that's why, although by oinus, when it's done forcibly, yes, that's a lot of pain for the woman to have pizza gruglayim, and therefore he has to pay for the tsar. But by mafata, when a woman is having consensual bia, then it's not so much of a pain, and therefore there's no tsar by mafata. Now, the Gemara continues that the Mishnah differentiated and said, "Ha'inis nisim yad," that the violator has to pay immediately. Ha'mafata likshetzi, but mafata, when he gets rid of her, then he would have to pay the knas. So the Gemara says, "Likshetzi," as we alluded to this question on Amid Alf, that when he removes her, what do you mean, ishtahi, is she his wife? Like, what do you mean to say that when he removes her? So Mapai, he says, no, ema likshetzi yichnis, what it means to say is that when he doesn't marry her, and the reason is if, let's say, she refuses, or the father refuses, or even if the mafata himself refuses, I don't want to marry her, so then is when he has to give the knas. But if he actually marries her, then he doesn't have to give the knas. Tanya Mahoch is similar in the Braisa. That Avpish Amr HaMafata Noisin Lukisha Lo Yichnes, said, although we said that the seducer only gives the knas if and when he doesn't marry her, so you see that idea that we said is Lukisha Lo Yichnes, but the Braisa is contrasting Baishas Begam Noisin Miyad. But he has to pay immediately, meaning even if he marries her, he has to pay for the embarrassment and the depreciation of this woman that he seduced. Now the Braisa continues, Ve'echer O'ines, Ve'echer Mafata. Now, whether it's a case of when she was forced or whether when she was seduced, Bein hi or bein avi yochin la'akav. So the Braisa says that either she or her father could refuse and not allow this seducer, this violator, from marrying this woman. So the Gemara asks, to explain this Braisa, Bishlem Mefutik said, we understand by Mefuta, when the woman is seduced, it says in the Pasuk in Shemai, it says, im moin yimoin oviha, that if the father refuses, he doesn't have to give his daughter over to this man just because he seduced her. Although we want him to have to do that. Now, Ainli Elavir, we would only know that the father could hold back. He asked me, nine, how do we know that if she doesn't want to get married to him, that she could refuse? Tamalayma Yimoin. That's what it says, the yud, the extra word yimoin, mikam welcome to say in all situations, meaning not only the father, but even she could refuse. meaning all the parties that were violated. So, however, Elo Einis, but regarding a case of Einis, Bishloime Ihi Ksiv, we understand she could refuse because the Pasuk says, Veloisia, that to him she should be, which sounds like that she makes herself available to get married to him, meaning Midaita, meaning willingly. But if she doesn't want it, she could refuse. Elavim and Olam, but where do we know that the father could refuse in the case of Einis too? So the Gemara brings two interpretations. Amabai, he says, it's a Svara. We don't want the sinner to gain, meaning this girl was in our father's domain. Every merit that this girl had, and could be Kesef Kedushin, was that the father gets. Now, this nin who violates her could then go ahead and marry her against the father's will. He just took away something from the father. We don't want him to gain through his bad action that although the father wouldn't have wanted to marry her off to him, now because he raped her, he gets to take her. We don't want the sinner to gain. And therefore, since it was in the father's domain, we give the father the authority to refuse this man of marrying his daughter. Rav Amar, he says it's a kal v'chomer. Because because if we find by the case of when he seduced her, shaloi over ela al dasa via bovad, where the only person's rotzen, only person's interests that were violated was the father, because actually the girl was interested. She was seduced. She wanted to have this relationship, and still bein hi ubein neviyachin la'akav, as we prove in the pesukim, both she and her father could veto this union. So einis sha'avra al dasavia v'al dasasma. So by the case of einis, where not only was the father's interest violated, but the girl too, she was violated against her will by this person. Like kolshkin, isn't it a kolshkin? Is it kal v'chomer that both of them would be able to veto this union, and therefore Rava learns it off from a kal v'chomer. So Gemara explains why each one didn't say the other's interpretation. Rava lo emek habaya, Rava didn't say like habaya based on the logic of shalehei chayt and nisker, and he says because kiven the komasham knas, because since this ma'anis has to pay the penalty, meaning and that goes to the father is compensated for the loss of his daughter, let's say for the rights that he would have had for her besulim. So lav chayt and nisker, so it's not considered that the ma'anis is, as a sinner, is gaining by this, that the father cannot veto this marriage, because the father got out of this what he would have gotten, which is, he would have gotten that amount for the ksuba, and he's getting this now from the violator who has to pay the knas. So therefore, he's had to say that it's based on the kavo chaymer. Abai lo emek harava, but Abai didn't say like Rava, because he held actually it's not a kavo chaymer. Because you could say by mafata, by the case of when there was seduction, the ihu matzi ma'akev, where the mafata himself could veto the marriage. In other words, if he wants to, he doesn't have to marry her, as the Gemara later on will explain, because he will learn it from Yimari Anulai, that he has to go ahead and give her in this marriage, meaning it has to be willingly. If he doesn't want to, actually, the Mefata does not have to marry her. So therefore, via Nami Matzimakim, just like we find the Mefata, not only the girl, but Mefata could veto the marriage, so too the father could also. We see others could veto it. But Aynes di Ihu Le Matzimakim, but when he is a Ma'anis, he cannot veto, he has to marry her. So via Nami Le Matzimakim. So therefore, we could say that so too, there the father maybe also would not be able to veto it, unless if we had the logic of Chayti Niska, and that's why Abaye says it's only based on the Svara of Shaloi Hei Chayti Niska. Now the Gemara continues with in this similar vein, Tan Yidich Ulin Abraisa, and the different Braisa, that Afa Pisha Amru Einis Nais Miyad, although we said that when a man is Ma'anis a woman, he has to give the Knas right away, meaning whether he marries her or not, but Kisha Yaitzi Hu, when he does remove her, meaning he has to marry her, but when he does remove her, Ein La Alav Klom, then she has nothing in the way of demanding payment. In other words, we do not say that the knas has no relevance to the ksuba. In other words, because you would say that, what do you mean, the knas was given to the father right away. Now that if you want to divorce me, so you have to give me at least the ksuba, we say no. We say that the kesef, the money of the knas, was in place of the ksuba, meaning this, that he has to give the father knas right away. Then when he marries her, that is the money of the ksuba. And so too, let's say if he dies, so again, she doesn't collect the ksuba because the money of the knas was in place of the ksuba. Now, the Gemara asks on this braisa, Kesha Yaitzi? How does this case even make sense? We said that, yes, he has to give the knas right away, but when he divorces her, since he gives the knas, he doesn't have to give her ksuba. But how could he divorce her? Mi motzi mapukla? Could he divorce her? But the pasuk says, Le yuchal l'shalcha. He can never send her away. He has to always stay married to her. So the Gemara says, Eima kesha teitzei hi. What the braisa was saying was that when she goes out, in other words, if she herself wants to leave the marriage, and she's demanding a get, then she wants to leave, fine. He'll say, I have no problem divorcing you. Then, ain lo alav klum. That's what we're saying, that then she doesn't get anything in the way of a ksuba because the knas money was already in place of the ksuba money. Now, the Braisa concludes, mace, as we just mentioned this before, if the ma'anis dies, then yotze kesef knasa b'ksubasa. So then, again, the same thing, she doesn't collect any ksuba now from the estate because the money of the knas, which was the demand of what he has to give before he has to marry her, is the ksuba money, meaning it takes that place, so she doesn't collect anything. But Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he argues, he says, no, yesh la ksuba mana. She has a ksuba of a mana, obviously not as a basula, because she was violated first, but she does get a ksuba of a mana. So the Gemara wonders, but my kamefuge, what are they arguing about? If this woman that was anusa, that the husband that violated has to marry her, if she gets a ksuba besides the knas money that the father got, or not? So the Gemara explains, Rabban Savri, the Tanakama, the Rabban held, time of Maita Kin Rabban Ksuba. What is the reason why, in general, for other women, that the Rabban instituted a Ksuba? Kidei Shaloi to Hei Kalabei Nevleitzia. Because it shouldn't be very lax in his eyes to just remove her, because if there wasn't a financial obligation in divorce, says, you know what, go away. But he realized he has to pay out a certain amount of money for the marriage contract for the Ksuba, and therefore he won't do it right away. It'll stop him, which we don't want marriages to end just like that. But v'holei matzim mapik lo, but here by the oinus, he can't divorce, and the pasuk requires him to stay married. So there's no purpose for the ksuba. So therefore, since there was the knas money, there is not a necessity for another ksuba. But Rabbi Yehuda Saba, he holds that no, it's not true. Because haname mitzarla, he's going to make her life miserable. Ad amrihi lo be'in aloch, until she says, I don't want you anymore. Ah, oh, so then he'll get rid of her. But if there was a ksuba, he wouldn't do it so fast because he's going to have to pay out. And therefore he says that even by the case of anusa, although there was money of knas, there is a ksuba of a mana. Now the Mishnah continued saying that another difference between oinus and mefat is oinus shesa bat tzitzai, that the case of an oinus, he has to drink from his cup. In other words, he has to marry this woman in all circumstances. Whereas by mefata, he doesn't have to. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rava Miprazaki L'Ravashi, says, Mechti, let's see. Migma Gamri Ma'adodi, we know from previous dafim that we learn out oinus and mafata from each other. In other words, we learn out oinus from mafata that they have to be shkolim. We know we learn out mafata from oinus that it has to be the amount of 50 coins. So the Gemara continues on top of Memon Alam. So if that's the case, laha milsanami. So for this area of halacha too, that the Gamri Ma'adodi, we should learn out one from the other, that the mafata should also have to marry against his will, just like oinus has to. So that he answers, Amakra, the Pasuk says, regarding the Mefata, Mohar Yimarenu Loi Le'isha, that we appraise her for him as it is a woman, as a wife, meaning that we want him to get married to her. Now, when it says Loi, to him, it sounds like Midaita. It has to be according to his will, meaning, although we want this, but he gets a choice, and he could refuse that marriage, and therefore we see that it's not as mandatory as it is by the case of Einus. Now the Mishnah explained Kitzis Shesabat Tzitzis. So what is the case of when he has to drink from this cup? So he said that even if she's lame, even if she's a Mukashchin, but the Mishnah said if she's an Ervo or Asr Lava Bakal, then he doesn't marry that woman that he violated. So on that the Gemara asks, I'm Rav Kahana, Amrit L'Shmaita Kameid Rav Zimin Nardah. I said this statement over in front of Rav Zimin from Nardah, and I asked that Nesia say, let the positive commandment that the Torah says regarding the Ma'anis, that he has to marry this woman, that he violated, which says loisi leisha, which is a positive commandment. V'nitcha loisa say, we always know asay docha loisa say, let it override the negative prohibition of this woman that's not, let's say, fit to come to the Jewish people of mamzeres, which is just loisa say. Why don't you say asay docha loisa say? So Amali, Sir Rav Zvid, told me that no. Hecha mina nesa asay v'nitcha loisa say. When do we say the principle of asay docha loisa say? That's kagoin mila b'tzaras. That's of, let's say, in the place of the circumcision, there's tzaras, which you're not allowed to cut off, but you have a mitzvah of cutting that off, the foreskin, because there's the mitzvah of circumcision. So you say, I say, doicha deloi sasei. The reason is because deloi efshe, and the argus has to add the word deloi over here. Deloi efshe, deloi likuyum alasei, because it's not possible not to fulfill the positive commandment. Because what are you going to do? You have the positive commandment, now you have to circumcise. But in that place of this of the foreskin, there's the tzaras, which you're not allowed to cut off. So since they contradict each other, so the asei overrides deloi sasei. But in this case that you're describing, if this woman that was violated, let's say this mamzeris or whoever that loisa say is, if she says, I don't want to get married, is there a positive commandment at all? There is no positive commandment because it's only when she wants it. Therefore, as Rashi explains here also, we teach her to say, I do not want the marriage. And that's what's known in halacha as Efsh L'Kayim Shneim. Then you won't have the contradiction of the Aseh and the Lois to have the Aseh overriding the Lois, because you just don't have the Aseh. It's neutralized by her saying that I don't want it. And therefore, if we could keep both, we don't override the negative prohibition. And that's why in this case, we will not say Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh.